Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show.
Well, everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm here to do a quick introduction to the episode. So, couple things. Quick trigger warning for minor mentions of eating disorder, abusive relationships, and suicide. And then I also wanted to say thank you to the L Chat, because the L Chat is where I found most of the quotes that I read out of books. So, credit to them for digging around and finding that. Thank you to them. Shout out to them. And with all that said, everybody, please enjoy the episode.
Well, everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Jesse of the Jesse's Girls podcast. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I am so great, and I'm really happy to be here and so excited that you asked me.
Yeah, well, thrilled to have you on. Do you want to tell the listener a little bit about yourself and your podcast real quick?
Absolutely. I am just some gay boy in Texas, you know what I mean? And I have just always loved pop culture and particularly pop music. And so when I started making videos online, you know, I focused on the things that I loved and that connected with people. And so I kind of accidentally fell into the podcasting world. And so my podcast is called Jesse's Girls, play on, you know, Jesse Girl. And so I talk about my favorite women in pop music.
Incredible. Your podcast is great. You've got some deep, deep dives into Hilary Duff, Lindsay Lohan. You've got a great episode on Mariah Carey, and you've done this wonderful episode about the secret sapphic world of the Spice Girls.
Yes, absolutely.
And we met, I was talking to my friend Tori of the Ready to Be Petty podcast. Shout out Tori, about people she would recommend collabing with or doing pod for pods with. And you were on her list. She's incredible. Absolutely obsessed with her. And so I reached out, we started chatting, and I said, the listeners have been asking me for the secret sapphic world of the Spice Girls, the relationship. The sapphic world is, they're not all gay. Let's first of all say, the alleged relationship between Jerry and Mel B, you know, is a hot topic. And people have been asking me for it for years, and I've just never felt qualified because, I don't know, sometimes if you're not like already an expert in something, then you're kind of like, well, where would I even start with that? And then when I started doing a little research in this episode, I was like, oh, well, I see where I would have started because there's some great resources online. But you have an episode on it. And I said, Jesse, you know all about this secret relationship. You're a Spice Girls connoisseur. Come on and talk to us about it.
Yeah. So I learned from you before recording that you just didn't know much about the Spice Girls, period. So, I mean, I have to know, like, how did you miss the Spice Girls? Because they were massive for me. They're my first CD.
I wonder if I was just like intimidated by the Britishness, because let me tell you, in the late 90s, I was obsessed with Britney Spears. I was so into like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. I've always loved pop music. So I actually don't know how I miss the Spice Girls. But in the past week in researching this, I've been listening to their music. Like literally earlier today, I have tears running down my face watching them reunite at the 2012 Olympics. And that's what I love about doing these podcasts. It's like you can go your whole life just like missing out on this phenomenon. But then you take a look at it and you're just sitting there crying to like and they didn't mean anything to you like a week before.
That just really warms my heart. You know, I actually recently went to, and separate from this, you know, podcast that we'd already talked about doing, I went to this string quartet performance, like a candlelight performance, and it was a Spice Girls tribute because my friend is a cellist. And so they were like, we're doing the show. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. You know what I mean? Like, this is just happening in my life, you know, and what a great coincidence. And it was incredible.
It sounds like it was great. Yeah. Their music is so good. And I think I had always heard Wannabe and been like, Wannabe's like fun, but like, where are we going beyond that? But it's like, Wannabe is the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. It's a
Oh,
great
yeah.
song, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. And we're going to talk specifically about a song called Viva Forever, which is this beautiful ballad. And I don't know, I had a similar kind of joyous occasion when I started researching the Fifth Harmony Girls to cover Camila Cabello. And, I've done several deep dives on her now and one on Lauren Hareggie. And of course, there's a conspiracy relationship between
Of course.
them. I don't know. I don't know where I eventually landed on that. I do think Camila was completely in love with Lauren. I don't know if anything came from it though, but it was a similar kind of joy, like watching their old performances, being like, wait, how did I miss this mess of girls just being crazy on stage? And the Spice Girls, I'm sad I missed it, but I'm glad to have them in my life now.
Yeah, that's what's really important. Where we are now, being present, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So if the tour, I've seen like what it was just a few weeks ago, March 8th or something, that Mel B did say like, oh, we're announcing something later this year. So I don't know, but if they reunite, I'm going. Absolutely, I will go.
Yeah, and I'll talk about this too. Mel B, I doubt her sometimes, but we can get into
Sure.
that later.
Yeah.
Because she says things, but half truths. So we'll see. I don't get my hopes up anymore about Spice Girls reunions,
Fair.
but I've got my rainy day fund ready just in case.
Yes, I would love to go see them. My girlfriend is British too, so I felt like I was getting closer to her and her culture, the British culture.
Her
But like,
culture,
Spice Girls
yes.
are British culture.
It's true.
But I have a little background on Jerry and Mel B. First, before we jump in, what can you tell me, like, what is your first memory of the Spice Girls and like what do they mean to you?
Oh, that's so good. Everybody talks about Wannabe, of course, but the song that really connected with me was Say You'll Be There. So that was the second single off of their first album, Spice. And it is just fucking, it's good ass music, okay? We've got like the instrumentation and the production is so maximalist, and it is just in your face. Like, we are women, we are proud to be women. Like, you know what I mean? We have expectations for the men that we are going to date here, right? And I was just like, first of all, I'm like 5 or 6 years old, so I don't really understand. But it was such a clear message, even if I didn't fully get it as a child. Like, that song really hit me. And so I asked for the Spice Girls album, and it was my first like full-length CD. I did have the Macarena CD single. Okay. So, I was getting into the music
You
scene
know the
as a tot.
classics.
I knew the classics. I knew the high quality stuff. And then when I got that album, I was just like fully sold.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like a great introduction to like pop music. It is always like that first album that just sucks you in, and it's like the highs of it. That's what I love about pop music, is just like such high highs. It's addictive.
Yeah, and they wrote on all their music too, which is great.
Yeah, that's another thing I noticed. Like these girls, they were not just like there to sing and look cute. Like they had their hands in their own image. Like they were dressing themselves. Famously, Jerry, she made the executive call to wear the Union Jack flag dress, and she had her sister sew a tea towel onto a black Gucci mini dress. And she was like, no, I know my image. I know what I'm putting forward. And it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of pop groups that were more manhandled than these girls, but they really stood up for themselves. They wrote on their own music, and they had a lot to say about like the artistic direction of the group. And I think that comes through, and I think that's why they're one of the most they are the most successful selling girl group of all time, which shocked me. I thought surely like Destiny's Child or maybe some of the groups that lasted longer. It's like Little Mix, like they're small, but they went on for years and years and years, where the Spice Girls were only kind of a flash in the pan. I mean, they had their reunions and stuff, but no, it is the Spice Girls. So it's like, okay, it's them. So that was really interesting to learn. I also learned about the backgrounds, particularly of Jerry and Mel B. So I'm going to talk about Mel B a little bit. So Mel B is like, she calls herself the Nutter from the North. She is a firecracker. Northern girls in England. In England, the North is kind of like the South is in America.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I've gathered, but I know you're going to have more perspective on me, but I think that is so funny. So that does help me to like put it in a perspective when she talks about that.
Yeah, so if you think of like a raunchy, loud Southern girl, who's not
Like
afraid to
myself.
like, sure, exactly. So, I mean, same technically, I guess. That's not afraid to speak their mind and, get up on the table and pound a beer and dance and That sort of thing. That's like a northern girl from the UK.
Love
And
it.
but the north is a little more conservative as well. My girlfriend, she's from a town called Sheffield, and Melby is from Leeds, and Leeds is like a few miles north of Sheffield. And of course, growing up as a biracial queer girl, Melby faced, racism. She was othered. She tells a story about a club in Leeds that did not allow black members, and they wouldn't allow her father to join. And later she like threatened, she said, "Oh, I'm gonna buy this fucking club." So that's Mel, but like, she faced adversity growing up, and I think grew strong from it. But she also had a suicide attempt in her teen years. And she doesn't go deeply into talking about this, but she says she didn't feel like she belonged. And it's just like, okay, like Melby does not label her sexuality, I guess, so she kind of takes it unlabeled, fluid. She has dated women publicly. She dated a director named Christine Krokos publicly 4 years, like 5 years. So she's like definitely queer. But when I heard about her suicide attempt, I was sort of like, well, obviously the racism was probably, at play, and not feeling like she fit in. And of course, just going through the teenage years, right, is tough. But I can imagine, if she had was like sort of a blossoming queer person, that stress as well might have led to, some of those feelings of desperation that led her to attempt that. So Mel B, she's interesting. Jerry is from the South. She is from just a town north of London, and she grew up with a mother who I think either always was or converted to Jehovah's Witness in her teen years. So then you start wondering, it's like, well, certain things get said, right? So eventually we're going to find out Mel B just spills the tea. She does just say, "Jerry and I had sex," essentially. Not exactly in those words, but we'll get to that. But then Jerry sort of denied it, but she's kind of admitted it in other times. So you have to wonder about, sometimes when we talk about queer public figures, or, who's gay and who's maybe not, and like sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want to come out because it'll hurt my career, right? But sometimes you don't know what someone's going through. You don't know. They might just have one homophobic family member that they don't want to, bother or let down. Or so I thought that was interesting about Jerry's childhood. And yeah, do you have a fave Spice Girl? Let me ask you that.
I was always into Emma, Baby Spice.
Ah, oh, she's very likable, isn't she?
Yeah, and I think that she was the most like Britney of them all. And I think that I was really drawn to that sort of aesthetic when I was younger. Now I would probably like gel the most with Mel B initially at this stage in my life, but then actually, like truly, when I got to know them all, it would probably be Victoria because she is the wittiest. Like she is funny and she's cheeky, and they're all funny and cheeky, but like her intelligence and wit isn't always what we got from her. She was posh, whatever. She was kind of icy. But when you like watch, the documentary and everything that came out on Netflix about David and everything, you're like, that is a funny girl. That was a funny woman. And that's probably like who I would most connect to now.
I was surprised at how likable every single one of the girls came off.
There's something good about all of them for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah, I found them to be very likable, and I found the story between Mel B and Jerry to be like very compelling. Now, opening it up for conversation here, like, what are your broad thoughts about Mel B and Jerry?
I think so my thought about Mel B is that she embellishes things, right? Like she like over exaggerates scenarios. And I think that Jerry undercuts, like maybe Mel B and who she is, and also like downplays things, right? So I think that we have these two polarizing people who probably did have some sort of connection, right? Whatever it might have been, however it manifested itself. And it's the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right? I think that something happened for sure. I don't know if we'll ever get the dirty details about it in full from both of them, corroborating everything. But it is undeniable that they had some sort of connection physically, emotionally, whatever. I don't know if it's necessarily like romantically, but I definitely do think that they had chemistry.
So I walked away from this very sure in my heart that Mel B and Jerry, whatever sexual, however sexual it got, however physical or romantic it got, they are soulmates. Now, could that, now does that mean they have a romantic connection now? No, I mean, obviously not. Like, they've gone on and married other people. And I mean, Mel, there's been ups and downs. Jerry's in the news right now because her husband's been sending sex to, like, he's some Formula One race car driver. He's been sending sex to, like, female employees. So, like, what the fuck ever. Mel B has been in some very high profile, dramatic, I mean, abusive. There's a whole, you could do 15 episodes on this alone,
Yeah,
but
her books. Oh my
yes.
gosh. Yeah.
But like, I think they're soulmates. And I pulled a quote. This is from Mel B's book, and they both have a couple different books, and I've got quotes from all of them. But
Yeah.
here's what she said about Jerry in one of her books. She
Yeah.
said, "Jerry became my best friend. I'd found my friend for life, or so I thought. Instinctively, I knew her down to a T, and she knew me just as well. And we had a very similar sense of humor. We even started going out in matching outfits. One Saturday, we went to Marks and Spencer's in our pajamas. Why? For a laugh, of course." She tells a little story about, "Oh, we're in our pajamas in Marks and Spencer's." She goes on to say, "We were like boyfriend and girlfriend in that we could have horrific arguments, always knowing we'd make up afterwards, even though everyone around us would be saying, 'Christ, they are never going to speak to each other again.' We had infuriating rows, got irritated over the slightest things, and swore like fishwives at each other. Our arguments went off with a bang from the moment they started. They were really dramatic, and at times you'd have thought that she'd cheated with my boyfriend or something. I remember being in her little flat and shouting, 'You fucking little shit, why don't you fucking shut up?' The other three girls sat silently in the back. Then 5 minutes later, everything was fine again. It never took long for one of us to laugh or say, 'All right, I'm sorry.' And that would be that." So, like, passionate. There's a quote from the I'm Giving You Everything documentary where Posh is talking, Victoria is talking about, they were so great when it was good. Like, when they're forced to be reckoned with, when they're like in a good place, they're both very loud, they're both very assertive, they're both very sure of themselves, and like they get along so great. But when they fought, it's like the whole house is burning down, like everything's going wrong. Like, so I see that kind of passion, and I am just like, she's here. She is like comparing them to boyfriend and girlfriend. And again, I don't know how I would ever describe what happened or did happen. And we don't know 100%. But like that energy, I'm just like, yeah, they're like soulmates, you know?
Well, and if you think about it too, and this is kind of hard to conceptualize, especially if you remember it in real time, but you said it correctly, like flash in the pan. They're Success was like 3 years long. Like that the height of what we know as the Spice Girls, it's two albums and it's 3 years. And it was like album, tour, movie, album, tour. You know what I mean? Like boom, 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 boom. And so they're with each other all the time. You know what I mean? Like you were in this, not only are they just spending time with each other, they're in this pressure cooker situation. They're colleagues. They're friends, they're allegedly lovers. And when you're all three of those things, and you know, it can be so much. Like that's a lot for anyone, regardless of whether you're questioning gender and sexuality, right? It's a lot.
It is a lot, and like I'm actually a bit stunned at how close they still seem to be to this day. Although in my research I found that to this day it's happened at least twice in the past year, they will unfollow each other on social media, like have some fight allegedly and like unfollow on social media. You go to the Spice Girls subreddit and they'll be like, "We're never getting a reunion tour. Mel B's just unfollowed Jerry on Instagram." And then everybody in the comments will be like, "Well, they're just in love. What are you gonna do?"
I mean, truly, right? Like, you're not helping the allegations if you guys are still, you're still like, you know, playground fighting with each other and pinching and poking and prodding and pushing buttons, right? Like, come on, who are you kidding?
Right. But then they'll just be right back at Twitter tweeting to each other. "Oh, it was so good talking to you. It was so good seeing you." So it seems to like ebb and flow, and it does as a queer woman, like it does come, to me, come off as like, oh, you're those exes who like really want to be friends and still will love each other forever. But then it's like, well, it's complicated when you're exes, like feelings can get a little extra hurt. Like I feel like I don't see the other girls doing that to each other, like unfollowing on social media. You know, it just doesn't seem to happen. So there's a little something
No,
extra at play with them.
absolutely. It does not happen. The rest of them are just like peaceful with each other. If they don't, even if they don't see each other for a while, you know what I mean? Like they go to each other's birthday parties and stuff like that, right? And there's no unfollowing, there are no dramatic public fights. It's just those two.
Yeah. So I also have an excerpt from one of Jerry's books about a trip they took to the Mojave Desert. And I think maybe they were filming something or they were doing something there. But Jerry wrote, "Conversations automatically dropped to a whisper. I lay alongside Mel B on the roof of a car and we stared upwards. I'd never seen so many stars. I felt as if the roof of the universe had come down to touch my nose." And then she says, "I feel like Thelma and Louise," I said, staring at the sky. "Yeah, I know exactly what they'd be doing. What's that?" Mel grinned at me and pulled off her top. She's such a free spirit that she seizes moments like that. She knew I'd follow. We stripped naked, except for our boots. It was pitch black and we could barely see each other, just hear our voices. "Come on, let's go," said Mel. We were sprinting across the plateau with everything bouncing. I've never felt so liberated and alive. Mel caught up with me and we ran side by side. Then we skipped around the sagebrush, feeling like desert nymphs or flower children. The sky turned a brilliant midnight blue just before the dawn. We barely noticed it was growing light until the rocky outcrop began to emerge. Suddenly, we realized that we had to get back or everyone would see us. We sprinted towards the car and laughed as we pulled on our denim shorts and tops. It felt wonderful to have shared that moment with each other. I mean, are you kidding me? That's some of the gayest shit I've ever
I
read in my
know,
life.
like we've all seen this movie before, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like.
Like we know what happens next.
I can't stop grinning because it's just such a beautiful love story. I mean, it's an up and down love story, but again, like when I say they're soulmates, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. And it doesn't mean that they have to like get married or be romantic forever, but I just think there's a connection there that is different for each of them compared to every other connection they'll ever have in their lives. You know what I mean?
They're fire and gasoline, like to be
Yeah.
cliche, but they are, you know, like they can't be together for too long because bad things happen. They either fight or they, you know, fuck or whatever they do. And, you know, they can't have that at this stage in their lives. And it's so funny that, you know, in that excerpt, she talks about boobs because that's like a common theme with all of the times that they allude to things or talk about them, you know, their relationship with one another later on, you know, through the years that we've gotten since, you know, 1996. There's always like they're always talking about tits. Like Jerry talked about you know, boobs on Howard Stern's show, and then, you know, Mel said, you know, Jerry's got great boobs, like all that kind of stuff. It's like so funny. Like they love each other's boobs.
Very much so. So, yes, Jerry went on the Howard Stern show and he asked her, "Have you ever had lesbian sex?" It is the most repulsive interview. Why is he not
He's
in jail? What?
disgusting.
It's
How is he not canceled for sure?
I think he's just like, I guess if he has a mostly like straight male audience, he can't be canceled. But because they don't care. But he asked her and she said, "Yes, I've had lesbian sex once and it wasn't for me."
You ever had lesbian sex?
Once.
How'd it go?
Do you know what? I realized I wasn't a lesbian. I don't mind boobs,
Right.
but
The vagina.
the other bits is not my cup of tea.
Who'd you do it with?
I could
One of the other
never
Spice
say.
Was it a Spice Girl?
I'm never ever so.
Was it a friend?
It was just one of those moments. I've actually never told anyone that, so
Was
there
she
you go.
famous?
I've never revealed that.
No, don't give me a name. But I'm saying, was she famous?
I'm
Was it
not
Nicole
telling.
Kidman?
That's as far as I'm going with it.
Did you try it because you were living with George Michael at the time and he's gay and you said, you know, let me see if this is for me? Is that what turned you on?
It wasn't that. But I, you know,
Was it
I
Queen Elizabeth?
have. So make of that what you will.
The other
Obviously,
bits, LOL.
you know, to come out and say, "Yes, I've had lesbian sex and I was obsessed with it and I love eating pussy," it was sort of out her. I think she was trying to pass off whatever she was getting up to as maybe more of an experiment and less of an identity. But maybe that is just how it went down. Maybe they had sex once, who knows? But also in one of her books, Mel B talks about her first wedding to the father of her child, Jimmy. I'm forgetting his last name. But she said, that day she was like, I wish my father had told me I didn't have to marry him. Maybe I didn't want to marry him. And Jerry wasn't even there to grab my boobs and make me feel better. And it's just like, okay, that's what you're thinking about on your wedding day is Jerry grabbing your tits.
Right? I'm like, that is gay.
Yeah.
It's real
So
gay.
they seem to have this great appreciation for each other's bodies. Also worth noting, Mel B got a tongue ring during the first run of the Spice Girls at some point or another. And Jerry was quick to point out, quote, it's good for licking. And also there's some kind of event where they're casting other people as themselves, and someone, is going to be Mel B. And Jerry says,
Have you got a good tongue on you? I hope so. If you're going to be Mel B.
And later on, when Pierce Morgan is poking and prodding at Mel B and asking about, did you, didn't you, whatever with Jerry, they bring up the tongue ring and, Mel B is talking about how they all kissed when she got her tongue ring. And I was like, all of them? You kissed
Yeah.
everybody? Okay.
Yeah, well, I found an interesting quote. So she did, and I'm sure they did all make out. Like girls do just be making out sometimes. Like all my friends, like the gay ones and the straight ones, we've all made out. Like it's fine. But I will say, I found this weird interview from this journalist from 1,000 years ago, like that was with them around the time Mel B got her tongue ring and like wrote about it and said that like she'd been practicing on the other girls, and like she said that Posh and Melanie C were like, soft kissers, whereas Emma and Jerry were like more intense kissers. And then he also makes it sound like she had been performing oral sex not only on Jerry but also on Emma. So I don't know what that meant, but he was like, oh, she's been using the tongue ring on, she'd been practicing on both. It's supposed to be great for fellatio. She'd been practicing on both Jerry and Emma. So like, what does that even mean? I don't know. Have you heard
I've
that
never
quote?
seen that one. Wow.
Yeah, I'll have to send it to you. And I, of course, this is just some random journalist who like some male journalist who met them. He might have just been trying to titillate, right? But the tongue ring, yeah, Melby's tongue and how good she is with her tongue and all of that. It comes up a few times for Jerry. I think Jerry also gets asked, like, oh, who would she marry? Who would she shag in the group? And she said she'd marry Emma, but she would shag Melby. So it's like, well, maybe you actually did.
And also that checks out.
Right. I would marry Emma too. And I
Yeah,
probably,
great.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd shag Melby. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, do you find now that you've like done your Spice Girls deep dive, like who was the hottest to you?
I think Emma was very hot to me. She's just
Ooh.
approachable. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm very loud and obnoxious. And so like I could not be with a Mel B or a Jerry because they're such big. I'm kind of like that. So like
Yeah.
there would be clashes. They're all fucking hot. Don't get me wrong. Every single one of these
It's
ladies is
true.
gorgeous. That's very true. But I don't know. I felt like I've quite was developing a little bit of crush on Emma.
No, I totally get that. And oh my gosh, I'm not as good with all of the British shows, but Emma's got some good comedic chops too. Like she's made a lot of like guest appearances on like sketch comedy shows and stuff like that as well. So you should check those out because it makes her like even more endearing. She's so fucking cute.
She seems like just so innocent and sweet. I see why they called her Baby Spice. She is just a little baby, you know?
It was like kind of weird about, like she has the pigtails and the lollipop and it's kind of sexual, a little bit there, but like whatever. Now as an adult, like definitely a hottie.
As a fully formed girl. I mean, the thing is like back in the 90s, they were just sort of like teens. And I was like, wow, these girls are just so normal looking. Like they kind of had a glow up after they got famous. And I don't mean normal looking in a bad way. I mean, like, this is very approachable. Like, I can see part of why they were so popular is that, like, over in the States, you had like these bombshells, you know? I mean, you had the babyfied, but over sexualized Britney Spears. You had, of course, the bombshell of Christina Aguilera. Meanwhile, these girls were like, oh, these look like girls you just went to high school with, you know?
Absolutely. And they were like, you know, hang out together, good time girls, right? Like, these are, even though there were different, like, personas that they had and they were leaning into, like, you still could crack a beer with them or whatever, right? And, like, shoot the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very approachable. I would love to get a beer with the Spice Girls.
Holy crap. Like, oh my gosh.
Dream blunt rotation. Just me and the Spice Girls.
Absolutely. All of them. Yes, like, the whole bring group. Them all. Yes. Fuck. Yeah. That's a good one.
There's also some cute Mary, is what they call the ship, I guess. Mary moments on the 2007 reunion tour. There's some real flirty moments. There's one part where Jerry gets up on Mel B and she straddles her. And they also share a little kiss on stage at least once, if not a couple times. There's a lot of hugging, a lot of flirty moments. And like, apparently Jerry was single during this point. And a lot of people think like maybe there was a little bit of a hookup in 2007. What do you think about that? Is it possible?
You know, when I think about that reunion, and this is pre, you know, Jerry getting with her husband and like kind of fully changing, you know, who she is and everything. I feel like maybe she leaned into being able to be that freer person again, you know, so even if nothing was happening, she probably just like allowed herself to have fun again.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you're around someone who you've been attracted to or you've like been with and you don't necessarily like want to like fuck them again, but you know, you feel more comfortable like touching them or something like that, you know, if the situation allows for it, right? Like, you just feel more like physically comfortable with them and like their physicality is on display for you. Like, I've fallen into that with people before, you know, and I bet that there was just like that energy and she was able to like be fun and have her like near her physically again, which, because they don't see each other all the time anymore, right?
It's like magnetic. It's like electricity between them. It's just, I agree. Even if nothing's going on at that point, which it's like, who fucking knows? It's like Larry, but real. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what One Direction Larry shippers wish were happening on stage between Larry
and
Harry.
Have so much more evidence for this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I love to talk about Larry, but I am not a believer at all.
Same.
But I'm obsessed with it because it's just like the fandom culture there is so interesting to me. But this is like what Larry's wish they had. There is just electricity between them on stage. They're drawn to each other and they're just like expressing their love for each other. And it's like, I see soulmates, you know what I mean? Like, even if nothing was going on, although gosh, is it electric at some points in time.
Also, I never thought about the fact that Mary and Larry rhyme anyway.
Good point. I never thought about that till now.
I hope that sets someone off, like, you know.
If I weren't trying to, like, get good SEO for the podcast, I would name this episode, It's Like Larry, But Real. A Reddit user named DesignerStage489, I found them. I did not read any excerpts from Mel C's book, but they said, in Mel C's book, she says her, Jerry, and Mel B were sharing a flat at one point, but Jerry found it too much and moved out, leaving the two Mels alone. And that's when Mel B started being hostile towards Mel C because she was depressed with relationship problems. And so some people think like, well, what relationship was the problem? And that's another question people have about Jerry leaving the Spice Girls, because we get some very interesting quotes about that initial time the band broke up. What do you think about, you know, Jerry's leaving? Do you think Mel B could have played a role in that?
I do think that it makes sense that it was part of it. I don't think it's the main reason, but I do think that it probably contributed. So, you know, that book, and I mentioned this in my episode too, The Spice Girls Revisited, the fact that Jerry was the main songwriter for Viva Forever, which you talked about before, definitely lends, you know, itself to the conflict being a big reason for her leaving. Maybe not the sole reason, but definitely a big part of it. And, you know, Jerry never had like a serious relationship during the Spice Girls heyday, and she was with Mel on all of her holidays and everything, right? Like, and in Viva Forever, the song is about like forbidden love, basically, and a secret that you keep, and the lyrics that are mentioned are like, feelings unfold, they will never be sold, and the secret's safe with me. And then it goes, hasta mañana, always be mine, right? So I don't know, like, how could it not be some aspect of why she left with those lyrics, her crying whenever she like performed that song, whenever she announced that she was leaving and they performed that song and Jerry's crying and it's her song that she mostly wrote with those lyrics and all of the allusions to everything that had happened, you know, I mean, it's like really compelling case.
Yeah. So the lyrics to Viva Forever and some context around who's gone on vacations with who and to where. First of all, it's worth noting that Jerry's mother is Spanish. So she speaks a bit of Spanish, and that's why you see Spanish words pop up in songs she's written on. She has some solo songs that have Spanish in them. But Viva Forever, obviously, Hasta Mañana means see you tomorrow or see you later. But the lyrics are incredible. So this is a song about a forbidden secret love that was appreciated mostly in the sun. Young love in the sun. Felt like my savior, my spirit I gave you. We'd only just begun. So this is somebody that is like on a team with somebody, it almost seems. We'd only just begun. And they're looking back. And I just can see this, like, who knows what the song is about for sure. But there's talking of whisper words. Yes, I still remember every whispered word. So when do you whisper, right? When you're keeping something a secret. The touch of your sin, giving life from within, like a love song never heard. Of course, we talk about silent screams on this show a lot, about silence sort of taking the place of expression when it's a queer love story, right? Because you have to, you know, keep quiet or they're dead, or you're dead if they knew. I don't think love story is about a woman, but it has some gay lyrics in it. But it sounds like, you know, they're in the sun, they're on beaches. And of course they say, hasta mañana, always be mine. So that's some Spanish words. So let's read an excerpt from both Mel and Jerry's books. It's a story about when Mel and Jerry went to a Christmas holiday in Gran Carena, which is an island off the coast of Spain. Mel B says, I went on holiday with Jerry to Gran Carena for 2 weeks. It was one of those cheap last minute package deals, the type you pay for knowing that you're going to Gran Carena, but not where you're actually going to stay. Our rooms were shit, but the hotel was amazing. We nicknamed it Frankenstein's Castle, built into a rock. It was a maze of dark, rocky, hollowed out corridors and open walkways. Jerry had a long white dressing gown that she enjoyed floating around in. I remember seeing her from the bedroom window as she dreamily drifted down the stairs in it, out to the car park to get something from the car and back to the room. She looked like something out of an old French film. We were two girls on a mission. We seemed totally in sync with one another. And there was never a moment when one person wanted to go to the beach and the other wanted to stay by the pool. We hired a hideous purple bubble car with a roof that peeled off and drove around the island looking for adventure. We laughed from afar at the big men who sunbathed with their feet in the sea. We giggled at the crap podium dancers in the local half-pants nightclub. We can dance better than them, we insisted. Normally, when you go on holiday, you take a certain amount of money with you and work out a daily or weekly budget. Not me and Jerry, though. We spent our money on anything and everything until suddenly it was all gone. We had about $5 left between us. What are we going to do? There was only one answer. We drove back to the local club and got ourselves jobs as podium dancers. We were paid about £10 a night. It was enough to keep us in food, petrol, and drinks. I wore hipster bell bottoms and a crop top. Jerry wore hot pants and a bra. We worked from 11 p.m. until 4 a.m., dancing for a full hour, followed by a 20-minute break. Jerry and my relationship was unique. We could walk into a room, take the whole place over. She'd take one side of the room, I'd take the other, and occasionally we'd glance at each other as we worked our way along. With a look, we'd know exactly what was going on, whether one of us wanted to leave or was bored, or it was time to be outrageous. It was great. Neither of us would say, oh no, I don't think we should do that. It was always, yes, come on. So this is this fabulous holiday in Spain where they speak Spanish, where they might say hasta mañana to each other in the sun, and they're having the time of their lives. And Jerry also has memories from this trip. Jerry, we haven't talked about it yet, but she suffered from a pretty severe eating disorder. That's part of probably why she left the group.
Yeah.
And she wrote about, she said, Mel tried to help me eat sensibly by ordering proper meals. Just copy me, she'd say, spooning more food onto my plate. She found it completely incomprehensible that I considered food to be the enemy. Mel always had been relaxed about what she ate and had never dieted. She had a fantastic figure. On Christmas Day, we ate French fries and ketchup on the beach, washed down with ice-cold bottles of beer. The sun shone and we fell asleep on beach towels, waking as the afternoon cooled down. Mel and I could paddle in the shallows and walk along the beach without having to make small talk. We were comfortable with silence. It was the best Christmas of my life. Viva Forever is about this vacation. I will die on that hill.
Like, it has to be, you know, it has to be. And there, because there was no social media and everything, they were able to have all of these adventures that were just for them. Like, they'd created their own world inside this whole Spice Girls situation happening that no one knew about. And if that's not queer coded, like, I don't know what is.
Very much so. And it's just, God, I read about the song like early on in my research, but I only found those quotes just recently. And when I read about the holiday on the Spanish island, I was like, that's it. That's the one. Because they went on holiday together a lot. It wasn't just that trip. They went to Sri Lanka together. The girls, of course, holidayed together, but Mel B and Jerry took trips alone together during their downtime. And actually, at this podcast, we have a little something I call the Bailey standard. So Bailey is the confirmed relationship between Hayley Kiyoko, lesbian Jesus pop star, and Becca Tilly, her reality star, now open girlfriend, but it was secret for a long time. And we did an episode on them maybe about a year before they came out. And I was like, you know, they're not open about it, but they're open enough about it. And I laid forward a case of like, well, they're probably together because, and they were doing all these things together. They were traveling together. They were going on vacations together. Becca would travel with Hayley on work trips and like tour with her even. And they were doing all these things. They were spending holidays together. They're spending special occasions together and that sort of thing. And all those things I kind of combine. I say that's the Bailey standard. So when people want to say absolutely outrageous things, such as like Louis and Harry, we've already talked about them, like are together to this day and they haven't been seen together in 10 years. Like, you know what I'm saying? That does not meet the Bailey standard. And to be honest, like most like conspiracy relationships don't. Right. Because most conspiracy relationships are not a thing, you know, but this one meets the Bailey standard.
That's so good.
Fucking fabulous. You know what I'm saying?
That's so good. And a quick aside, I met Hayley Kiyoko in a bowling alley in Oklahoma City one time.
God, what was she like?
I think that she didn't really want to be bothered. It was a Sunday afternoon. She was in between tour stops. But I saw her and I'm a big fan. And so I was like, I can't not say something to her. So my friend Hannah was with me and, you know, Hannah is also a huge fan. And so we were just both kind of like freaking out and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. So I was like, hey, I know that you are probably like just wanting to chill and everything. I was like, my friends and I are big fans. We recognize you. Like, could we just get a photo? And she was like, yeah. Like very like okay whatever and like took the photo and she was like pleasant, but I think that she just didn't want to be bothered, which I totally understand, so I don't hold it against her, which is very different than my Troye Sivan encounter, but that's for a different day.
Okay, we're gonna have to talk about that on a different day. I need to hear about it.
We can.
So Viva Forever gets written. Jerry is like the main songwriter, and like I do think it's about this trip she took with Mel B, although who knows for sure. But she leaves the band not too long after this. Now, first of all, let's say she was struggling with an eating disorder and they were, like you said, it was like 3 years of like album tour, movie album tour, like brutal, right? Most people cannot keep up with that level of like grind. So like not surprising that the band sort of starts to fall apart when they're being worked so hard. But it is worth noting that Jerry left the Spice Girls 2 weeks after Mel got engaged to Jimmy, who later like kind of outed them in a documentary he did. Mel's ex-husband and father of her first child, he did do a documentary and he was like, he didn't explicitly say it, but he said several times, like very emphatically, that Mel B and Jerry had a relationship and were much closer than anyone knew.
Melanie showed me that she was really close with and told me that how close she was with Jerry. Melanie and Jerry have a relationship with each other, what goes deeper than a lot of people think.
That's another quote on the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She left the Spice Girls 2 weeks after Mel got engaged to him, and she wrote in her book, she said, the situation I was in about leaving, this is from Jerry's book, she said, the situation I was in was more of a relationship breakdown than an argument of principle over one particular issue. It was time for me to go. That night at home in the little farm cottage in Hertfordshire, I'm probably saying, my girlfriend's going to make fun of how I'm saying this. where I lived, I wrote in my diary, I have loved and lost. I give up. My heart is breaking. And she also said, rather than sit down and talk about things, I had cried and bawled like a baby, thrown my toys out of the pram. Sometimes the only way to feel in control is to take action, whether that is spoiling a relationship or finishing a relationship.
I mean, that's so cryptic. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
And they also talked about a lot when they like got back, when the band got back together, both, I think Mel B was very much being like, it's like a divorce. It's like getting back with your ex. It's like you got divorced and now you're back together again. And they have used the language of what, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, breakup, divorce to refer to each other and the whole band kind of as a whole. But it does seem like, you know, maybe a reaction to Mel B getting engaged, Jerry left. Yeah. And right after Jerry left, there were two nights where Mel B cried while performing Viva Forever. They were both in Oslo because I think she left in the middle of their fucking tour, right? Yeah, it was like, did. It was not like, okay, I'm stepping down to focus on my solo career. It's like, no, this happened out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In the middle of a tour. Mm-hmm. Mel B was said to be crying during like the day after she left. And then the next day was also her birthday and she cried while singing the song. So
yeah,
make of that what you will.
I mean, there's a lot to make out of that evidence. Everything just aligns, I think, with your Bailey Sander too. Like everything just kind of aligns. And, you know, I think the cryptic nature of them not being very specific about certain things, contributes to why it feels more real. Even
Jerry has a couple songs that people say might be about Mel B. She has a song called Let Me Love You, a couple lyrics that stand out. If a girl loves a boy and she loves a girl, what can you do? At the end of the day, there's nothing left to say but I love you. And she also has a song called Calling, and it's kind of about like wanting to get back with somebody, I guess you could say. And she talks about like the first stanza is interesting. It said, the sun is going down on me. So I guess she means the sun is setting, but like, obviously that could mean
going down on me. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it says, as she surrenders to the sea, so steal the night and fly with me. I'm calling. And it's giving some like sunset and beach imagery. And she talks about the moon and it's, you know, chasing shadows through the years, I whisper softly to my dear, be sure to know that I am here forever, Viva Forever. So I found that to be very interesting. There's a few lyrics that stand out. But
well, and like the sun imagery and everything has always been a theme. And then back to your point about silence and secrecy, and she talked about whispering a lot, you know, there's a sort of thematic element that seems to repeat here and kind of is hard to ignore.
Yeah, very much so. As well as, you know, forever and ever is repeated several different times in this song. And they talk about the ocean in between. Of course, Jerry had spent some time living in LA, like Mel B wasn't, like, you know, forever, there's an ocean in between forever and ever. And I do think that comes back to this soulmate thesis I have about them, because I do just think, I don't care how many times they unfollow each other, I don't care how many fights they have, for they will come back to each other forever and ever. And I'm not saying they'll come back in a physical or like sexual or romantic way, but I just think, I don't know. It's like, I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but if there's one thing I know about it, they're always saying like, she's my person, you're my person. Mm-hmm. I think they're each other's person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In a very spiritual way, they will always like come back to each other.
Yeah. Very intense. And I was thrilled and floored by all of this. You know, I really didn't know there was this much information out there.
Yeah.
But it's incredible.
And I was oblivious to it growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me as a when I was an adult to like learn about all these theories that have been circulating around forever, I was like, what? Like, I didn't get it at all. But then when I started looking at all the evidence and even just their body language, when, you know, once the theories were in my mind and I saw the body language, I was like, oh my gosh, of course. This makes complete sense. And I'm very skeptical when it comes to, you know, conspiracy theories with queer relationships in particular, you know, but this is one where I'm not as skeptical. Like,
I mean, the girls have outright all like
yeah.
confirmed it. So I think if we get one, we definitely get this one. But
Absolutely.
I agree. There's nothing better in the world than like turning back and looking at something from your past and being like, oh, it was gay all the whole time. And I didn't
Yeah,
even
thank
know.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me watching Pitch Perfect in 2020, which launched this entire podcast because of the Chloe. It's the dumbest thing ever. But like, wait a
Love that.
minute. How did I miss this? This was gay the entire time. There's no better feeling, you know?
Yeah, this was gay the entire time. Me with the blue Power Ranger, since we're talking about 90s
Oh
things.
my
He
God, is he
was,
gay?
yeah, the original blue Power Ranger is gay in real life. The actor who
Oh.
played him, and he left the show because of homophobia and like the way that he was treated by people.
Yeah, wait, that's so sad. I always thought I did get lesbian vibes from the yellow Power Ranger. She was a woman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah.
She
RIP.
died.
Oh
Yeah.
no. We're gonna have
Yeah,
to do
back
an
in.
episode about the gay Power Rangers, I
Oh my God,
think.
I totally will because Power Rangers are like my other thing that I stan outside of pop music. So, yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun. Let me ask, do you have any like closing thoughts or you know, ideas you want to share about Mel and Jerry B or Mel B and Jerry or the Spice
Jerry
Girls at
B,
large?
Jerry B.
That's their baby's name.
Yeah, I love that. I would just say that I think that what's really cool about this whole scenario is that them having a sort of like side love thing or whatever, unlike some other situations where we learn of these things, it doesn't take away from the Spice Girls. You know what I mean? Like it adds something because sometimes when you find out certain things about people who you grew up with that might not be great because you idolize them or whatever, or you find out things that that were happening behind the scenes and you know it kind of takes away from maybe like the art or whatever, right? Like it doesn't do any of that for me. It enhances it, it adds more meaning. It's a little salacious, but it's not like malicious or scandalous. It's like truly, we had human people who were experiencing these things, and it was amplified for everyone. And we have more layers now, which makes it even better because it was such a quick thing that happened with the Spice Girls, and it was so fast their success, and so, you know, meteoric, if you will. Like it's really cool to go back, still enjoy the music, nothing's tainted, and now have so many more elements to these people, and we peel away things and we learn about all of them, you know, which I think is really cool. It just speaks to how compelling they are as people that even like 30 years later, you know, we are still talking about them.
Yeah, really well said. I think you make a good point that usually when it's like, oh, breaking news, like the scandals sort of behind the scenes you never knew, and it's in the industry, it's like, oh yeah, Lou Pearlman was like molesting everybody he met when he was creating boy bands, or like, oh yeah, Britney Spears has been being abused for the past like 15 years, you know. But this,
Exactly.
it's like, oh, like of course they were in love. It makes everything make sense. And it's like, you know, they had their ups and downs, but they always come back together. And the context now around the song Viva Forever has low-key changed my life, like a little
Yeah.
bit. Like, so I agree with you. It's one of those, I don't know. I've just had this huge grin on my face this entire episode because it's a beautiful story and it makes everything make a little bit of sense. And I feel like that's one thing we love at this podcast when we, you know, we'll hear a rumor, we'll hear some gossip, and maybe it's true or not, but what we really all get excited about here at What I Will Say Nation is like, oh, that makes it make so much sense. That's what that song is about. That's why that person was acting like that, like maybe. And this, the puzzle pieces have never fallen so well into place
Yeah.
and then in a story like this. So yeah. I thank you for joining me on this episode.
Thank you. And can I ask you one thing before we close?
Of course. Yeah.
So I know obviously like Viva Forever is a standout song for you, mm-hmm. but I know you didn't really know the Spice Girls music very much. What was another song that you really enjoyed as you were listening?
I'm Giving You Everything.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
Say You'll Be There is the
It's called Say You'll Be There. Mm-hmm. Why did I think it was called Giving You Everything? That's like the refrain.
That's yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Apologies for getting that wrong.
No, yes. You're fine. I didn't want you to disappoint any super fans, you know.
No, thank you. Yeah, that song was like this blend of like hip hop and pop, and it's like it's so quintessential 90s.
Yeah,
I it's an incredible song.
Love that was the song that like really reeled me in, and that's the song that really spoke to you. That's so cool. Yeah. And one quick fact, because I do love the music.
Please.
The harmonica solo in that song, in the middle of it, mm-hmm. is the same guy who played the harmonica solo in Karma Chameleon Culture Club.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Very random fact.
Yeah, a little trivia there for you guys. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for hopping on. Please tell my listeners, where can they listen to you? Where can they find your podcast? Where they can find you on socials?
Absolutely. So my Instagram for my podcast is Jesse's Girls Pod. And just like there's no I in team, there's no I in Jesse. I am just an E.
I will have your stuff linked in the show notes if people want to go check you out. This was really, really fun. Thanks again for joining me. Guys, I think what's on the Patreon right now, we had a little tea spill last week, and I think probably 2 to 3 days ago from the day I'm going to post this, I have put up a Lana Del Rey and her worst scandals deep dive, entitled Where Was Lana Del Rey on January 6th? Because I have questions. So if you want to check that out on Patreon, what I will say on Patreon. And yeah, with all that said, everybody, please stay safe in 2024. Please get registered to vote in 2024 and gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss immediately. Bye, everybody.